Come on, Cruz, let's go.
Yeah, we know who you are. Know he did you 12 years. Now, maybe you were innocent. Maybe not. It don't make no difference to us because we know what you did to that correctional officer in Pelican Bay. That makes you a con. Don't it?
You two need to escort us out now.
You an angry convict?
Anger ruins joy. Steals the goodness of my mind. Forces my mouth to say terrible things. Overcoming anger brings peace of mind. Leads to a mind without regrets. If I overcome anger, I will be delightful and loved by everyone.
Are you making fun of us?
It is the universe that makes fun of us all.
Why exactly would the universe make fun of us all?
Maybe it's insecure.
And it is a good day. This is Kevin reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, December 18th, 2013. You are listening to Rangers Radio, where the Rangers goal was set right for corporate tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rangers are taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and disreading, you can too. Oh, how the hell does Sean Kennedy do this? He is one hell of a mental guy. Anyway, this is Rangers Radio. It's been a long time since we've actually released some stuff. That's mainly because, we've been lazy, to be honest. And V's been somewhat offline as of late. Thinking, who the hell is this guy? He's not V. What's going on here? Yeah, well, as I said, you know, V's been offline, and we'll get into that into the wee discussion topic later on. This is only going to be a short show, to be honest. I'm kind of doing this more of an experiment than anything else to see if it, you know, works. Apologies in advance for the poor audio quality. I'm just using the built-in microphone of my laptop, and it's not going to be the best. So anyway, let's get into the news. So, comic relief money has been invested in arms and tobacco shares. This is coming from the BBC. For those of you who don't know, Comic Relief is a charitable organisation in the UK who basically raise money to help children who've been, you know, they're impoverished, they've been hurt, that kind of thing, victims of abuse, that sort of thing. Anyway, BBC Panorama has learned that millions of pounds donated to Comic Relief have been invested in funds with shares in tobacco, alcohol and arms. This has happened between 2007 and 2009. Some of the investments amounted to millions of pounds appear to contradict several of its core aims. No fucking shit. Despite its mission statement claiming it is committed to helping people affected by conflict, in 2009 the charity had £630,000 invested in shares in weapons firm BAE Systems. Yeah, that's not such a good thing. We've also had more than £300,000 invested in shares in the alcohol industry, despite its mission statement saying it is working to reduce alcohol misuse and minimise alcohol-related harm. Majority was invested in Diageo, which manufactures dozens of alcoholic drinks and was criticised by the Health Select Committee in 2009 for exploiting weaknesses in regulation of alcohol advertising. Also, while raising funds in 2009, nearly £3 million of the money was invested in shares in tobacco companies. Yeah, not much can be said about that, but it gets worse. Comic Relief has now changed the way it presents its money, and it is currently impossible for the public to tell which funds the charity currently invests in. It has declined to comment on whether any money invested since 2009 is in shares in alcohol, arms or tobacco companies. Yeah, that's not really good. That's poor decision-making news. Yeah, right there. There really is no words that can be said. You know, charities investing money in companies that cause direct harm to people. I mean, it's all perfectly legal and within regulatory guidelines, you know, not so good though. And the fact that they're refusing to disclose what they're investing in now, that's kind of a killer, to be honest. It'll be interesting to see how many people actually give money to Comic Relief now. Not good. Anyway, moving on, in a bit of kit news, we have a potential Raspberry Pi killer called the Cubie Board 2. Basically, it's the same sort of idea as the Raspberry Pi. It's everything on the one circuit board. Small, portable, runs off, you know, 5-volt USB. However, this seems to be a lot better than the Raspberry Pi. So what we have is a dual-core 1 GHz ARM CPU, much better performance than the Raspberry Pi, but 1 GB DDR3 RAM, again, is like double the amount of the Pi, 4 GB of onboard flash storage. Pi doesn't have anything like that. A non-USB based network port. That's probably the killer feature for me. Is the Raspberry Pi's network port is USB based, which when you're doing large file transfers, you really notice that it takes an age to actually do anything on it. Especially when you've got a USB hard drive connected to it, everything's on the one root USB port, and USB is CPU bound. So things get really, really slow. Not good when you're trying to use it as a file server. Good for other things, not as a file server, or possibly even a web server. It's got two USB ports, one USB on-the-go port as well, and there's also a SATA port. This is another of the killer features on it. You can actually plug a hard drive directly into the thing without using one of them USB to SATA adapters. That is a brilliant idea. Why more folk don't do that, I don't know. Why the Raspberry Pi doesn't have a SATA port on it, I don't know. They should put it in the next version. I'm wanting to get my hands on one of these. There's, you know, your regular 3.5mm audio jack and your HDMI port. Also, it's got a much more I/O than the Raspberry Pi. 96 pins on the expansion port. You've got all sorts of goodies like I2C, SPI. I'm sure there was some sort of infrared thing on there. Maybe it's a serial port or something like that. Much more input-output. And it comes with Android version 4.2. That's pretty damn cool. But it will run any GNU Linux distros that has an ARM port. Currently they advertise... they've got Ubuntu, of course. Everything has to run Ubuntu these days. And probably Arch will run on it as well. Unfortunately, as of the 12th of December 2013, it is out of stock in the UK. But it was selling for the princely sum of £55. That's not much more than the Raspberry Pi. I mean, maybe it's, you know, double the cost, but still, £55 for a pretty decent all-in-one computer. That's pretty damn good, I have to say. Very, very reasonable. I'm not sure what stock levels are like in other countries. You might be able to get your hands on one. You know, if you can, go out, get one, and report back to us, because I really want to know what this thing's like. There is a new version, the QB Board 3, also called the QB Truck, which has been in development. It might be on sale soon. I'm not entirely sure. It might just be vaporware. You know, hopefully this thing comes out and it could be pretty damned awesome. On to the next story. In barrier news, this is thanks to Juver. We have IsoWall, which is an isolating firewall, hence the, you know, barrier thing from Ghost in the Shell. It's designed to quarantine a machine from the local network, but still allow it access to the internet, which is a bit of a novel concept. Usually, if you just plug a machine into a network, then it's just going to attack everything on the network, if it's, you know, been infected, obviously. It sits between the router, or, you know, the greater network, and the potentially infected machine. So in the article, it's actually the guy's using a Raspberry Pi, believe it or not, with a USB network adapter. It's based around the fact that one of the ports doesn't actually have a TCP/IP stack, so nothing can attack it. The only thing that can use that port is IsoWall itself. The other really cool thing about this is, if you bucker up the configuration, IsoWall will refuse to start. So, you know, you can't really break anything. If, you know, you cock it up, your infected machine doesn't go anywhere. It just, you know, it's isolated completely. If you cock it up after it starts running, then it will just clamp down and shut. You know, shut down and protect your network. I'm not entirely sure what the use case for this would be. I think, you know, big corporations probably won't use this. They'll just pick up the infected machine, wipe it, and put a new hard disk image on. and, give it back to whoever was using it. But should possibly be of use to people in the information security sector, writing virus definitions and whatnot, just to get an idea of what the virus or malware is actually doing, then try and counteract it. The software is available on GitHub, as you know, where all good open source projects seem to live these days. I'd recommend using GitHub, actually, it's quite good. So go there, download it, run it, see what it can do for you. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have many news stories today. This is just the three, because, this is just more of an experiment than anything else. So we're going to go into the music break, and then we're going to have a wee bit of a discussion. So we've got a couple of tracks, and they've got a British element to them. First off, we have, this is a band, it's a spin-off of Alestorm, which is a Scottish pirate metal. This time they've kind of gone in a different direction. It's still metal, but, you'll just have to listen and find out. This is Glory Hammer with the Unicorn Invasion of Dundee. And just in time for Christmas, we also have Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer, with O Santa, which is a rather comedic song. So, we'll get right into that. The Unicorn Invasion of Dundee. They came with the first light of dawn, setting their sights on Dundee. Led by the sorceress Argo Brex, slaying the people he sees. They ride to war on what's noble beast, corrupted by wizard's spell. The unicorns used to be good, now they are forced to serve him. Down from the mountains and across the river Tay, an army of undead unicorns are riding into the fray. Fireballs and lightning are raining from the sky. Chaos and bloodshed while all the people fly.
Here's a festive tale for you all.
It was the night before Christmas, and all around the house were scattered small puddles of famous grouse. An early gift from my maiden aunt. I thought I'll drink this rot, although I shan't. The plants got a good whiskey watering, though, after my risky sauntering home from the club. Beyond a quick pop into the pub to extol tales of old to the pros in the ruddy lug holes. Though they were cold, I know they found my jolly stories rather droll. They went down gladly like a Tory troll at a glory hole. I digress, still barely made a crease in my Sunday best. When I arrived home in a stupor, oh, super, I thought, Father Christmas is a trooper. I'll leave him some port under the tree as a treat. That'll set him on his way. And a carrot for Rudolph, the helper on his sleigh.
I placed the offerings beneath the tree with a note which read, Santa, thanking ye, do enjoy this small treat that I have given thee. But when I woke, the fat kid had taken liberties.
Just one glass of sherry, I thought that was clear. And the carrot was food for your reindeer. Dear Santa, don't darken my chimney again. An empty bottle beneath the tree, and a carrot besmirched by fecal debris. Oh Santa, don't darken my chimney again.
I come down on Christmas morning to a terrible sight. I thought at first a burglar had come in the night. A sherry bottle on the fire and sherry dripping from the ceiling. And now the Christmas dinner seems somewhat unappealing. Since he did that with the carrot, my confidence is murky as to whether he didn't do something rather similar to the turkey. Next year, though, I shall find out the truth. I shall await the cheeky blighter with a shotgun on the roof.
If I may be permitted to state a natural fact, Father Christmas committed an unnatural act. Oh Santa, don't darken my chimney again. He finished my supply of fortified wine, then he popped a carrot where the sun doesn't shine. Oh Santa, don't darken my chimney again. Such a thing at Christmas.
All right, on to the discussion. So, as I've alluded to earlier, who the hell am I and where the hell is V? Well, basically, I'm Kevin. I'm just a guy. V, he's still alive, actually. He's just not been online. Real life has a habit of getting in the way. But I can report to you that his living situation has improved, actually. He's got himself a new caravan, which seems to be about twice as big as the previous one. The previous one, it was alright. It was a nice wee caravan. But, this one, much bigger, so he can do more stuff easily, basically. More utilities in it. It's going to have working heating. Hopefully going to have working heating. Especially seeing as it's coming up to winter now and it gets a little bit cold down in the valley. He's planning on being able to run the heating from either a propane cylinder, or he's going to have a couple of wood-burning stoves installed. One on the inside and one in the awning outside. So you can use wood and coal. So he's kind of more off-grid in a way, not too dependent on third parties for his staying alive, basically. That's been going on. The other issue that kind of affects his ability to do shows and whatnot is the lack of a reliable internet connection. As I said, he lives in a valley, so mobile phone signals for mobile internet, well, it's dire at the best of times, to be honest. I barely get signal. I have no idea how the hell he manages to get any kind of signal whatsoever. He's using a portable hotspot, which, you know, it seems to work. That's, you know, that, it gives him a wee bit of Wi-Fi, but he does have a limited amount of credit on it. So, you know, you kind of have to spend it wisely. Yeah, a proper internet connection would be better, but unfortunately, the campsite is not suitable for running any kind of cables to, so you can't really get DSL or you kind of get fiber to it, which is a bit of a pain. I don't, you know, it would cost a hell of a lot of money to get, for the phone companies to, you know, or the fiber company to dig up the road, run a cable, and it is a hell of a narrow road getting down there. It would basically block up the entire road for the best part of a week, which would piss off the residents quite heavily, because there's only the one way in and out, unless, you know, you want to go cross country. However, there may be a small glimmer of hope. He and the scousers who've recently just moved onto the field, they've got their own caravan. Excuse me. They're looking at getting a satellite internet set up, which would be really, really cool. I mean, nice and fast, somewhat high latency, but, you know, it'll be a hell of a lot better than the mobile internet. Yeah, so hopefully that'll get installed soon. Hopefully. Also, hopefully, Neil, Demi and myself will be going down to see him for the new year, which will be fun. Hopefully we'll be able to get some sort of media recorded as well. So yeah, watch this space. If you like this, you know, recording, not entirely sure, you know, why you'd like this, but, you know, you're getting something for free, can't complain. Then give us a shout and I'll try and do a bit more. So to finish up with, I'm going to play you a little bit of a rant by Hank Green of the Vlog Brothers, I'm not entirely sure. A couple of guys who do YouTube videos. This is Hypocrisy, All They Want Is Money, which is quite a good rant, actually. You'd be best watching the YouTube video, because, you know, it is on YouTube. They've got added graphics in there, show you, you know, all the companies and whatnot, but I'll not spoil it for you. Listen to this, then go watch the video. Everything's in the show notes, which you should be able to download along with this episode. So here we go. Hypocrisy. All they want is money.
Good morning, Maureen and John and Nerdfighters. Today, we're going to talk about something that pisses me off. At the end of last year, there was a battle in the UK. The kid who won the X Factor, Joe McElderry, who I know nothing about, was apparently a shoo-in for the highest-selling artist in the UK Christmas charts. That is until Rage Against the Machine decided to rage against the machine and get a profanity-laden song from 1992 to the top of the UK charts. And they did it using an online anti-establishment social media thing. Rage Against the Machine beat Joe McElderry by like 50,000 units, proving to the world that we're not just sheep in a capitalist monarchy, except it turns out that we were raging against the wrong machine, because Joe McElderry's music is owned by the same people as Rage Against the Machine's music. Sony Music owns both Sony BMG, which is Joe's label, and Epic Records, which is Rage Against the Machine's label. So while the anti-establishment folk were fighting their battle, Sony was laughing all the way to the bank. And that is what I want to talk about today. Brands and their hypocrisy. Big corporations create these things called brands so that they can sell more stuff to more people. They can use these brands to create specific marketing campaigns to hit specific demographics of people who believe specific things. All the while, those big companies don't give a crap about those brand values as long as the brands continue to make money. Don't believe me? So Dove Soap and Skincare, those people, you know those people, they have this great marketing campaign about how real women are beautiful. And that's so great. And then you have a company like Axe Body Spray, and Axe Body Spray is like, shh, I'll spray myself, and then I can use women for sex. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Axe and Dove are both owned by Unilever. Things get even crazier with media companies because they own like 10,000 different properties. For example, the company that owns the UK softcore porn magazine Nuts also owns the Hanna-Barbera cartoon franchise, that company being Time Warner. MTV has a similar structure, owning both television channels for young children and horny men. I was personally extremely disappointed to find out that the National Geographic Channel is owned by the same people who run Fox freaking News. Over here, you're talking about the beauty and wonder of natural and cultural diversity and the power of science. And over here, you're Fox News. And food companies are no better. Kraft is busy boasting the importance of meatless meals with their Boca Burger franchise, while simultaneously shilling both hot dogs and steak sauce to, quote, satisfy your primal urges. Kraft, until recently, was actually owned by Philip Morris, the people who make Marlboro cigarettes, which was possibly the most intense brand hypocrisy of all time, with Kraft focusing on family meals and Philip Morris focusing on killing people. And Unilever, going back to the beginning, is doing it again with their food brands here, offering up SlimFest with keys to your weight loss success, while pimping like 12 different ice cream companies, including Breyers, Klondike Bar, Good Humor, and Ben & Jerry's. And speaking of Ben & Jerry's, aren't they supposed to be like the quirky, cute, independent ice cream company for the independent-thinking, Jerry Garcia-loving, kind of hippie person? And now I find out that they're owned by like one of the biggest food companies in the world? That's just depressing.
It's all lies! Lies!
It all comes down to this, folks. There is only one corporate philosophy, only one set of brand values. Make more money. If this means spending money to do good things so that more people will buy our stuff, then they will do that. But these big corporations do not have a conscience. They have one goal. One goal only. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. But it will always be true. Maureen, I will see you on Wednesday.